We continue our series, Reformation of the Family, Marriage, Husband, Wife, Children, and Training of Children. What's all involved in raising them to be adults? A lot. The goal, of course, for Christian families and homes is that your child knows God and serves Him. There'll be much to mitigate against that. That's why we have Christian schools. That's why we have homeschool. Didn't have those when I was growing up. Didn't need them. Every teacher had a Bible on their desk. The day began with prayer. But then that changed. Hence the need for homeschool or Christian school. On one occasion, my wife and I were talking to Laurie and Lewis. They were small children, not old enough to know about Christian schools. Anyway, we were talking, and so we were describing the school that we went to, how that we had prayer before first class began, and how we prayed for our food, and on and on. And Lewis looked up and he says, "Was that a Christian school?" In other words, he was asking, he knew about how Christian schools operate, but we were talking to him about the public school. And so he thought, "No, you're talking about a Christian school." And because he was aware, of course, of a need in his own day. So, what about training your children? Are you going to do the training? Is somebody else going to do the training? Are you going to send your kids to the public school and let them train them? What are some other things that Christian parents could do that will have long-term implications in the raising of your child? We touched on it last week. Dedicate your child to God. Give your child to God. Who gave that child to you to begin with? Why do you have a child? God gave you that child. And it's our privilege as Christians to say, "Lord, I want you to have him." Because that puts the whole situation in a different context. As you as a parent, mom, dad, have the responsibility of educating and training that child through the various stages of life, there should be that constant, ongoing back of the thought, subconscious, this child belongs to God. Puts everything in a different context. Now, by that I mean, and I'll repeat this several times, again and again, I'm not saying you just dump it on God and say, "It's yours now, I'm out of here," responsibility-wise. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about a deep-seated conscious awareness that you have an obligation to God, to that child, because that child was given to you by God, and you gave the child back to Him for His blessing, for His care, for His divine work of regeneration in bringing them to a true and saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's an Old Testament study. It has to do with Samuel and his mom. Hannah had been grieving and praying for some time because she wanted a child. She was barren. She made a journey to the temple, the annual feast day with her husband. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. Chapter 1, and let's look at verse 9. Because this morning I want us to learn from Hannah. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy maidservant and remember me and not forget thy maidservant, but will give thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. What is Hannah praying here? Praying that God would give her a son. She didn't pray for a daughter. Specifically, she prayed for a son. Interesting. On this understanding, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And a child was born. By the way, it was a son. Verse 20. And it came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Well, the word Samuel literally means ask of the Lord. That was his name. In other words, the Hebrew word Samuel means ask of the Lord. And we're going to do some reading here. 1 Samuel 21. Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, okay, do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only May the Lord confirm his word. The woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and a 3-year-old bull and 1 ephah of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although he was a young child. Keep that in mind. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I pray, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I," notice the word, "asked of him. So I have what? I have dedicated him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is dedicated to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. There's a play on words. And it's interesting and also instructing. It's good that we can study this. Dedicate, the word translated dedicate in verse 28, and the word ask in verse 27 are the same words. They have different meanings, but it's the same word. These two words come from the same root word from which the boy's name is derived, Samuel. In the sense in which Samuel means, you could have said, "What's your name?" Samuel could have said, "Ask of the Lord." "What's your name, son?" "Dedicated to the Lord." It's the Hebrew word, sha'ed. What is Hannah saying? Literally, Hannah is saying, "I shall lay this child from you, now I shall lay him back to you." English, "I ask of you this child, now I give him back. Ask me up." We've considered in our series on child training, and we've emphasized it and mentioned it today, that child comes from God. Psalm 139, David's psalm on the womb, the infant. Now, let's fast forward 2022. And we're talking about dedication. Well, what does that mean? What do we do? How do we do that? What happens, etc., etc.? And I want to try to help us with that. First of all, I want to dispel from your mind any thought that it simply means you're turning the responsibility over to God. And I'm out of here. It doesn't mean that. It means you view your responsibility as unto God. That's serious. Actually, I believe that the proper time to have your dedication, and let me just say, we don't formally do that as a part of our church, but you can do it at home in the quietness of your home. The wife and husband can read scripture and pray, and both of you pray and give that child back to God. And I believe the best and proper time is when you first know that a child has been conceived. From conception, because the months that follow, God is intricately weaving that child in the womb. Your child. God's child. There can be a renewal of the dedication after birth. Now, something happened in the life of Hannah. Her husband had to make a trip up to Jerusalem, a religious matter. He wasn't required to go. She wasn't. He was. And you know what Hannah did? She said no to her husband. Not going with you. She had gone other times. Her husband assumed that she would go this time. Hannah said, no, I'm not going with you. In fact, she said in essence, I'm not going with you anymore until Samuel is weaned. Now, I'm not suggesting that mothers should never go on trips with their husbands. But what I am suggesting, if there is ever a question in your mind about the welfare of your children and a trip that you have in mind, your place is at home, because that is part of the dedication. Certain things now begin to take priority. And what is best for the child? Not I'll have a good time on this trip and we'll bring Junior along as a tag-along. No. Junior grows up and maybe it becomes proper now to be included. But there are those early years of development when tender care might be interfered with, and the travel, the demands of travel, etc., etc. I can't go into all of the potential details. I'm simply saying it puts everything in a different context. There's some studies we can do about weaning, the practice of that day. There was a time in early weaning. Breastfeeding was weaned away from earlier in life, 3 years. And then there was a age of 10 when the children were weaned from the ordinary cares and instruction of the home, and at that time were put under teachers, tutors, caretakers. We're really not sure which weaning is spoken of here. But when we realize Samuel was taken to the temple and left there, and his mother never did see him again except once a year when she took him a new coat, I would be inclined to think that it was the 10-year weaning. But, dear people, regardless of his age, the point that we want to make, even though Hannah dedicated him to the Lord, she did not shirk her responsibility while he was at home. nor did she shirk her responsibility after he began his activity in the temple. She went and checked on him. You see that mother's heart? Concern, care. Well, actually, there's a deeper continuation of this study concerning the Hebrew word. I think for our purposes, we've learned what we need to learn. Now, what does this mean? I give my child to God. It means a lot, but one thing for sure it means, your diligent, dedicated, disciplined prayer for your child. Pray for your child, for his needs. Joe Temple was a man responsible for a lot of the material that I use years and years and years ago. He put 11 kids through Bob Jones successfully. On occasion, when the kid was in probably junior high school, his son was running for class president competition with someone else. Who's going to be elected? And so some of the kids who were for the other guy determined they were going to sabotage Joe Temple's son by letting loose several bags of marbles during his speech. His speech was 2 minutes. And at the given signal, the marbles all began to hit the floor. He won unanimously. You know something? His dad had been praying for him. That if it was within God's will and plan and purpose for his son's life, let him win. Let him win. Do you see what I'm talking about? You see, dad knew that this child, his son, one of 11, belonged to God. And it was important for his son to win. If it was God's will. And Joe probably thought some other reasons why. His son. And in spite of planned and carried out opposition, he won. Do you see what I'm getting at, dear people? It's putting life into a different context, including marbles and competition and running for president of the class. Yes, it's a matter of prayer. Perhaps your kids may come home and complain of not having friends. What do you do? Yeah, go on. Get busy. Get your homework. Now you sit down. And you say, "Son, I want to talk to you." You know, son, first of all, the Bible says, he that would have friends must show himself friendly. He began to apply God's word to his mind and to his heart. And you say to him, "Son, that you and I make this a matter of prayer." And you begin to seek with God's wisdom to know how to advise that boy. And with God's help, he gets him some good friends in time. Because you see, back when he was in the womb, you gave him to God. What's the difference? What's the difference? We need wisdom. We need direction. Well, what a wonderful thing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Wisdom for your finances, wisdom for your work, wisdom for husband-wife relationship, wisdom for training your child. Well, there's a lot more, but I'm going to mention something here that may sound a little bit different to you. I think it fits. It's an old word. You don't hear it anymore. Premonition. Have you ever heard that word? Premonition. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that I believe there is such a thing in raising your children where God gives you some sort, I don't know how to define it, but it is an awareness that something's not right. In a given situation, let me explain. It happened very obviously with my son Lewis. We were at the Bible Institute in Hermosillo, and it was a cloudy, rainy, stormy day, and there was a iron fence built around the back part big enough for there to be a basketball goal and some other things, but there was an iron fence and gate for a large part of that enclosure. We had a large room, gathering room there in the Institute, and it was just, there's no classes going on. We were just there. And Lewis came up to me and says, "I'm going to go out there and play basketball, shoot baskets." And I don't know how else to explain it. He said, "Man, this is weird." No, it's not weird. Because I had a premonition that he shouldn't go. And I said, "No, son, I don't want you to go out there. You stay here." If he had asked me for a reason why, Dad, I couldn't have given him one other than that it just didn't seem right. hadn't been 3 minutes, and a bolt of lightning hit the iron gate. With a loud clap. And Lewis came around the corner and he looked at me. He said, "Thanks, Dad." I don't know how else to explain it to you. But it happens many times. Well, let me say, perhaps not so many. But when they happen, you as a parent know something isn't right. It happened on occasion when my son wanted to go with some other kids somewhere. I said, "Nope, I'm sorry, son. I don't want you to go." I could not have given him a reason other than the fact in my own heart I just sense it's not right. I don't want you to go. You see, raising children is a big responsibility. I don't know how else to put it. It is a full-time job. 24 hours a day. Even if you have another job you go to during the day, it's still a 24-hour a day job. It was interesting when I worked as superintendent of the boys' home. I really enjoyed that job. You know, I was responsible for 75 boys. I want to tell you, I put more time in that job than I did 3 others put together. Why? Because I was responsible to see to it that something happened to them more than 3 meals a day and math and English and history and shop class. And you see, being a parent means protecting your child, praying for your child, guiding your child, loving your child, taking an interest in your child, sitting down and talking with them and figure out what's going on in their life and their needs. And you give them back to the Lord. And honestly pray, "Lord, use them. Use them for the extending of your kingdom here upon the earth." And what a great joy it brings to your heart if God so chooses to put them into full-time Christian service for God. That's right. Our Father, we ask that you would use these words as you see fit in each of our hearts and lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.